Welcome to the PA Podcast. Ryan Tag Sontag here. By now you know me and my respect for comedy and people. We have a special interview for you. Just take a listen to Dana Friedman. It'll be fun. Hello?
Oh, hey, it's Dana.
Dana, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah, my other two compadres had other things going on, but we can still have a good talk. So how you been doing?
Life could be a lot worse. That's what we call Jewish optimism.
So what have you been doing? What have you been doing lately?
Just came from a mic. Just came from an open mic.
How'd that go?
Well, working out a new thing that I need to do in 2.5 weeks, so it's not perfect yet. And comics never laugh, so you know it's like if I got 10 laughs out of them, 10 is optimistic. If I got 5 laughs out of them, I'm fine, and I think I got 5 laughs out of them. One second, please.
Well, good.
Yeah, switching to the high-tech headset. Whoa.
Oh, look out.
Yeah, we're in the 28th century here.
Check it out.
Yeah.
So,
what's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm just chilling here, and I've done a couple open mics, and it's scary up there sometimes. Yeah.
Why? What are you scared of at a mic?
I don't know. It's just I just want them to, you know, laugh at me, please. Please laugh.
Yeah, no. That's not what you're there for. Don't flex your muscles at the gym.
Yeah.
Open mics are the gym.
Yeah.
No one's going to be impressed at your muscles at the gym.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like, yes, it's usually a friendly atmosphere, but people are too busy worrying about their own stuff. They're not going to be that into yours. If you happen to do something exceptional, yeah, you'll get their attention, or you'll hold their attention for 15, 20 seconds. They will listen with half an ear and watch with half an eye. And if you are really doing something extraordinary, that's great. But you will get laughs, you will get small laughs, and it's okay. In our group in New York, we have a comic who is 22 years old, been doing stand-up 6 years, and she's astoundingly brilliant. Not only as a comic, but as a person, she is an actuary. That, like, she has high-level math training, and she's an actuary. You know about actuaries?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so she could theoretically write a formula that would be able to figure out how well a joke would do in a real room based on how it does at a particular open mic. You know, and you gotta factor in all the variables, like, you know, number of comedians at the open mic, number of people in the room, you know, which mic it is, which comics it is.
Oh, geez.
Theoretically, it could be done. It's insane. It would make exactly no money, but it would be very helpful to some of us.
Oh,
you know,
crazy.
You run your reactions through the fancy machine, and you get some sense of how you'll do in a real audience, which of course is a bunch of BS, because you got to get up in front of a real audience to know how you'll do. But these are things that kept me out of the really good school. Thoughts like that.
So, dude, when did you get started with comedy? What brought that on?
Well, 20 months ago.
Okay.
20 months. I'm talking like the toddler. No, it'll be 2 years at the end of December. And what brought it on is that, far as I know, I am the only Orthodox Jewish transsexual doing stand-up. And there was a need, and God, this is going to sound so self-absorbed, but there was a need for the particular message I was going to be able to bring to the stage, especially in the LGBT world. Now, I'll grant you, they don't want to hear from me in Utah.
you think?
And somehow I'll be able to live with that. But in the, in the big cities where there's a lot of Jews and there's a lot of LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender folks, there tend to be a fair number of Orthodox Jewish LGBT folks. And I know this because I'm on the board of an organization that caters to exactly that population. And there's more than three of us. It's a substantial population. And there was nobody speaking to that audience. And so I started writing for that audience, and I killed. Because, when you know your peeps. Oh, by the way, nobody over 40 should ever say peeps. And I'm 48. Peeps is wrong. Unless you're aiming binoculars through a neighbor's window. But so I wrote for my peeps. Again, there I go. I wrote for the audience of which I'm a member. And I wrote stuff that I figured they would find funny because I found a lot of it funny. And I killed. And so I became a regular on that circuit. Yes, there's a circuit of Ortho-Jew LGBT folks.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. I mean, it ain't vaudeville. It ain't the Catskills. Might as well be the Catskills. But it's smaller, but it's fun. And then, friends, teachers, and audiences gave me the message of you have to, if you're going to do anything of substance on the stage, you have to deal with some more universal stuff. If you're going to talk about being a tranny or a Jew, you better be able to make it relatable. And believe it or not, there are things about being a trans person that we can all relate to. Everything from feeling out of place to, all sorts of things.
I'm hetero and I feel out of place sometimes. So.
Yeah, well, what? There's a difference, just by the way, between gender identity and sexual orientation.
Human.
Sexual orientation is who you sleep with. Gender identity is who you are.
Yeah.
So they're two separate things.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people are insecure about, they figure that it factors in because, hetero guys some hetero guys get up on the stage and make anal sex jokes, and that's
right.
Pretty much their entire set.
Exactly.
making fun of gay people, and specifically anal sex. Now, why is that an issue? Why does anybody laugh at that? Because there's this ingrained idea in our society that if you are the receiver of anal sex or you choose to penetrate, if you're a guy and you choose to penetrate a guy or you're a guy receiving anal sex from a guy, you are essentially feminized, especially if you're the receiver. And feminine males are something that have been laughed at in macho culture for a long, long time. So guys will be able to get a lot of mileage out of it. That's one of the reasons that cross-dressing and drag will always be funny in most societies. In American society, it's because they figure, Well, in the gay world, believe it or not, drag is popular because the drag queens are paying tribute to women. In hetero culture, it's really not so much about that as, haha, look at that guy on the stage wearing a dress.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the premise. And, like, you know, drag queens play into, like, typical hetero audiences who don't get it. Drag queens in Utah are going to go over much differently than the same queen in New York. But a Mormon cross-dressing comic got up on the stage for the
Mormon
first time.
Mormon cross-dressing comic?
No, not a woman.
That sounds
a guy,
like a joke.
A guy who was a Mormon cross-dresser.
That sounds
comic.
Like a joke.
Well, it does. And, you know, people have... Well, anyway, so this person got up on the stage, and it was his first time, and I say he because he identified as a guy who was dressing in women's clothes. And he got up on the stage, and he was nervous, and he had some material about, trying on clothes with the sister wives and stuff like that. And I told him he missed a good opportunity. I told him, his introduction joke could be something like, yes, I'm a Mormon cross-dressing comic. I get my magic underwear from Victoria's Secret. So he liked that. So you take whatever it is you're given in life and you find the funny. And, so Victoria's Secret is a universal. Magic underwear is the stereotype. So, like, yeah, fine, fine. I meet the stereotype. You happy? Only here's the surprise. Victoria's Secret sells magic underwear, too.
Very good, very good. So how long you been doing comedy, Dana?
20 months.
20 months?
You asked me that already. 20 months. It's like a little toddler.
You're a toddler.
Yes. I am a toddler in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
But I'm 48 in human years.
Wow. Damn.
And you come at comedy, you come at everything differently when you started at 47 or 46.
Yeah.
Then you do.
And how so?
Well, the first open mic I ever went to, oh, I was really scared because I'd never really been on the stage except at a class. And it was a room full of blonde 20-somethings who hadn't done anything in life yet. They hadn't experienced any pain. They hadn't really gone through much except high school. And so this one guy got up and he did a bit, and it's worthy of repeating at least the premise of the bit. He talked about how the male anatomy is perfect because, and you'll excuse my vulgarity, because balls go in the toilet.
That's all right.
That is to say, they fit in the toilet. And it did not occur to this genius to qualify it by saying, well, the toilet was invented after male anatomy was. Hello? So you want to say the toilet is perfect, that's fine. But that's all the guy had to talk about? Eddie Murphy admitted this on the stage when he was in Raw in 1987, which was an astounding stand-up movie. And he talked about the fact that he started doing stand-up when he was 15 years old, and the only thing he'd really done in life is go to the bathroom, so his jokes were about going to the bathroom. And you know what? The balls go in the toilet guy is just Eddie Murphy's going to the bathroom 5 years later. And I'm not saying I'm any better. I'm just saying I've lived a little bit, and people my age have a different kind of message, and we've experienced a kind of pain. And if you can turn your pain into comedy, people will empathize or people will laugh at your pain,
yeah.
And at least we hope.
Yeah, I'm older too, dude. So I'm 56, so...
You're 56?
I understand.
Your Facebook picture does not make you look 56. You look younger than 56.
That might have been one when I was in my 40s.
Oh, okay.
I am 56, yeah. But I don't look much different from that. But anyhow. So, wow, so you, 20 months you've been doing this. So, where, what are the clubs that you hit?
Where's your favorite club,
let's say?
Gotham, Metropolitan Room, those are the big New York rooms. I've done some Jewish shows out of town, but those are the big rooms.
Yeah?
Yeah. For me, anyway. I mean, I've never been on the stage at Caroline's. I have no connections there, haven't done a mic there,
haven't done a Caroline's yet? Oh, damn.
I love Caroline's. I go there to see headliners.
Yeah. You gotta get up there. That'd be so cool. I've seen some good comics up there, but
One day. I'm not ready, and that's also kind of another thing. When you're 48, I come from a music background, so I do understand the concept of paying dues in the arts.
What kind of music did you play?
Well,
What instrument, let's say?
Guitar and electric bass,
guitar.
But mostly I write. I still write for big band and orchestra.
Oh, cool.
But, you know, you don't learn to do that in 10 minutes, and you don't get good at it in 10 minutes. It takes, you know, you got to learn to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run.
Exactly.
And I hear these 20-somethings talking about, you know, how much of this stuff they have to do before they get their Letterman spot. And like, oh God, you're 20 years old and you want success and competence in this field now. You're insane. Or you're not insane, but it's clear that you're 20 years old.
Yeah, they want it in like 2 months, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, next week I'll be on Letterman. It's like, oh.
You know what else is frightening about the
chops.
Kids today? The kids today with the hair and the music.
There you go.
No, what's frightening is, well, they're mislabeled. The current generation of kids coming up are called millennials. Doesn't that make them sound 1,000 years old? And the ones before them, for some reason, were called Generation Y, and before them, Generation X.
Right.
I don't understand generation. What, were they good at algebra? And I think Generation Y, I mean, our generation was called the baby boomers.
Exactly.
And then Generation X and Generation Y, I think, was so named because they always asked, why aren't the baby boomers dead yet?
Exactly.
But the current generation, Generation Y was 10 years, and a real generation is 20 or 25 years, depending on how you're counting. So Generation Y and the millennials, I think, should be linked or lumped together into Generation Like. And they would be so named not only because they're addicted to Facebook and have replaced human contact with agreeing with friends' status messages, but also because while autism is on the radar right now, I think we need to be much more worried about a particular variety of Tourette's in which the 20-somethings involuntarily insert the word like into every sentence at least 5 times. like the sentence, I don't know, will turn into like, I don't know, like. And, you know, it's a 3-word sentence. They injected an additional 2, but it did not enhance the sentence at all. I think millennials have proven a mathematical impossibility. I think so. 3 words plus 2 words is still 3 words.
I think so, my friend. So what are your plans for the future?
The future.
The future. Oh, my God.
In December, I turn 49.
Well, that's a plan.
That's a plan. To turn 49.
And you can make that happen.
All you got to do is not die.
There you go.
I don't know. To write, to explore how scared American society is of gender and to make audiences tense just enough to get them to laugh at themselves.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That would be fun because, you know, I grew up listening to guys talk in the locker room. So I know what they say, and I can't deny it, and I'm going to call them out. I haven't really done it on stage yet, but I'm getting there.
Okay. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I'm
playing for the
like
other
I said,
team
I,
now.
I'm hetero. I ain't afraid. You know. It's
not about being heterosexual. I don't discriminate in my attractions on the basis of gender. I like guys, girls, and others.
We're all humans. Yeah, we're all humans. Just chill out, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's never. America's never gonna chill out. We're
some bitches.
We come from Puritans.
I know.
And I think we still maintained a lot of that.
Yeah,
Fox
I think
News
we do.
Is keeping up their tradition.
Yeah.
Fox News and the Christian hard right.
Yeah. And it could be so easy, but you know. That's how they want to make it a tough fight, and it's like I don't know why it could be so easy. Yeah, this. Where's your next gig? Where's your next gig at?
My next gig is August 11th in Eden Prairie, Wisconsin. I think it's called. Somewhere in the Wisconsin Dells.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Wisconsin's gonna let you in there?
Yeah. Because they got ortho queer Jews.
Really?
I'm playing them a peeps.
You got your peeps there.
Yeah.
Some bitch. In Wisconsin. How about that? Well, good for you.
I'm sorry. Saturday night, August 10th, I'm doing a thing there.
Well, good. For you.
I'm producing a show at the Metropolitan Room October 7th. It's a Jew show.
That's in the Metropolitan. That's in New York?
Metropolitan Room is in New York, New York.
New York, New York. Okay.
34 West 22nd Street.
Okay, cool.
MetropolitanRoom.com.
Yeah.
The name of the show is Comedy Schmomedy.
Comedy Schmomedy. Is there a website for that or?
ComedySchmomedy.com.
All right, y'all heard that? ComedySchmomedy.com.
Yeah. So the first show we're producing is October 7th, and it's going to be four Jewish comics talking about funny Jew stuff, and.
Is there funny Jew stuff?
Oh, please. I mean, are you kidding? I mean, between running the media and being constant complainers and what else? We have all the money.
Oh, yeah, you own the banks.
Well, you know what, though? There's one. We don't run the media anymore because Rupert Murdoch's not Jewish, and he's got a pretty. He runs a lot of media.
I know.
So I think that stereotype has to go away.
Yeah, it's so silly.
And he has a lot of the money too, and so does Bill Gates and Warren Buffett's not Jewish. But you know what? I'll cop. We still have a fair amount of it. That's for damn sure.
Oh, the main thing is being funny out
there. We bathe now. That's a new thing. There used to be the stereotypes that Jews smell bad because we don't bathe. So we learned we bathe now.
Okay.
That's, you know, the last few generations have learned that lesson.
That's good. You bathe in money, though, right?
Well, no, because the money is dirty from all the Jews handling it. Now, we bathe in water.
Good choice.
It's Perrier, if you can afford it, but it is water.
Excellent.
Beats working.
So, that's anything else coming up, or is that anything you
coming
want to plug, or any blogs, posts, anything you want to plug?
You know what? Nothing I'm aware of. At this stage of the comedy career, you know, things sometimes fall in your lap because, well, somebody died. Can you do 10 minutes? You know, and we don't focus on the fact that somebody died. We focus on the 10 minutes. Yep, sure.
Somebody died. Oh, 10 minutes? Yeah, I got it.
Mm-hmm. You know, they say that, you know, your lucky break can be someone else's misfortune. They asked, in the 2,000-year-old man,
yeah,
Carl Reiner asked Mel Brooks. Carl Reiner asked Mel Brooks, what's the difference between comedy and tragedy? And Mel answered, tragedy is when I prick my finger and bleed a little. Comedy is when you fall into an open manhole and die.
Yeah.
And he totally nailed it.
Oh.
My misfortune is tragedy. Your misfortune is comedy. And, yeah, somebody dies. You get to do 10 minutes. Good for you. Bad for the person. Bad for the comic's family, the comic who died.
Have you... my last question here for you. Have you had any instances with hecklers? And
only
handle
one.
That?
Only one.
Okay.
And I have to use vulgarity.
Go,
because
you
the
can say anything
the heckler
you want.
Did. I generally do not use vulgarity.
You can say anything you want on here. Yeah, go
when
ahead.
I'm on the, no, when I'm on the stage or when I'm, you know, performing in any variety or in any... whatever, in any capacity. I don't use vulgarity because I challenge myself to use the breadth of the language as much as possible, and also I don't want to have to change my act to work clean. So the one instance I had with a heckler is he was vulgar, and he said, show us your dick. So I said, that would be you, sir. You're my dick of the moment. I told the audience that I said that's not the first time he's heard that either. When he was coming out of the womb, his mother said, oh, there's my little dick now. And I was taught something wonderful to do with a heckler after one has, you know, decimated him and quieted him down. You got to turn the audience against them also. And so something I learned was to tell the heckler, these people came to see a show and you're being disruptive. So people, on the count of three, let's tell them to shut the hell up. 1, 2, 3, shut the hell up. And they all did. And it was great. And we were able to get back to the set. But that was the one and only time.
Wow. Well,
but it was
more.
A good
there'll
joke,
be more.
And so, sorry?
I said, there'll
yeah,
be more.
Yeah, there probably will, but so far in New York, hasn't happened. My
good
first
for
time
you.
Out,
good for you. Yeah.
Yeah, my first time outside the New York tri-state area, not performing for Jew queers, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll see how I do. I don't know. Yes,
I think you'll do fine. You're funny. You're funny. Funny.
Well, hopefully one is fast on one's feet.
Yeah.
And I'll use the fast feet to run off the stage.
Oh, very good. All right, so thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And
sure, Brian.
And, you know, thank you for, you know, talking, you know, the PA podcast. And
it's been fun.
We'll put this, you know, I'll get this up. I'll get a I'll send you a link to the copy of it so you can hear it. And I enjoyed it. I had fun. You were
very
entertaining.
Thanks. I will share the link with friends.
Well, great. And you're a good person, and enjoy talking to you, dude.
Thanks.
Or gal. I'm sorry.
Well, I actually
what do
let the
be Jude
thing
go.
Go Jude. Jude is a Jewish dude. Dude has become gender neutral.
Yeah, that's right, dude.
So
I
let it go.
It's a
gender neutral greeting.
I just
people
just
used to say dudette in the 90s. Dudette did not sound right.
Dudette. You're a funny person, and
thanks.
And great to talk to, and I really appreciate your time, and this has been fun, and thanks so much.
Sure, thank you.
All right, dude. All right.
Yeah, have a good.
Take care, man.
You too.
All righty. Thanks for listening to the PA Podcast. Find us on thepapodcast.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. So thanks to Dana Friedman, and props out to the PA team, Jenny Coe and Brian Kilpatrick. Find laughter in your day and share it. Keep reaching for the cookie jar. Be at peace.